So we go to number 29, Elk Raffle Drawing Date.
Mr. Chairman, just one quick question. So in the past, when these preserves had a bird limit of 15 or 20, it was, they were required to turn so many birds loose. Was that related on what they took, and they were required to turn so many loose? So now, if they can unlimitedly take birds for that period of time, does that number of birds have to go up that they're required to release?
Kevin.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Kevin Roblin here, Deputy Secretary. That's a great question, Commissioner Beast. The requirements in rule currently are a preserve must release 600 roosters that are greater than 15 weeks old or older. They must have a toe clipped, or their nares must be marked with a non-pecking device. The other piece of the rule states that no preserve shall harvest above, as far as it's, I'm going to try to find the exact rule language here. Maybe John has it pulled up. But preserves are required to release more birds, essentially, than they are. Let me find the exact rule language. This might actually be a statute, so I'm moving to statute now.
Mr. Chairman, and Kevin and John can look it up. This is Tom Kirschman. I do believe from the standpoint of releasing of the birds that a preserve would have to release the birds equivalent to 100% of the total number of birds, both wild and released, that are harvested. So, for example, if a preserve were to harvest a total of 1,500 birds, they're going to have to release a minimum of 1,500 birds also. There's a minimum requirement of 600 for an existing preserve, and then above and beyond that, they harvest more birds than that, it has to be equivalent to the total harvest, and that's a combination of both wild and the released birds that they put out there. And that should be an administrative rule.
So saying that, if they go to unlimited harvest, they're going to have to turn more birds loose then.
That number should have to equate to that total harvest that they do out there, correct, Commissioner Beast?
Is there any way to, when that, instead of just being roosters, we require them to turn so many more hens in that percentage loose? So when they turn, say if they turn 600 roosters out, basically that's giving them the opportunity to harvest those birds that we're requiring to turn out to replace wild birds. If we require them to turn out hens, a certain percentage of that to be hens, so that those birds can possibly come back into production the next year, is what I'm asking.
So, Commissioner Beast, I did find the rule, and I'll get to your question here as well. It is 4109.0102. Again, these birds, 600, must be released between the dates of August 1st and March 31st. They must be marked, like I previously mentioned. And like Tom just mentioned, the number of wild and released birds harvested to exceed 100% of the number of birds which have been released. And that's essentially saying they must release enough birds that they cannot exceed 100%. Back to your question, in rule it states pheasants released must be Chinese ringneck and they must be roosters. They can release hens. It says that also in rule. But those hens don't count towards their 600. At least that's in rule right now. But that is something that commission could look at. The suggestion you made, if they were to release hens, would that contribute then to their 600? That would require a rule change because it specifically says it says males in rule. So.
Okay. Thanks for answering that.
John, do we still need to take action on group limits on preserves?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So going back to the proposal, so If we're looking at from the numbered perspective, we've amended that proposal and eliminated sub-bullet point one, which is the fee part of it, and adopted the amended language. We already took action on two. Three is not relevant anymore. So it would be number four that you would have to take action on, and that's the group hunting. Basically, that everyone in a group hunt has to have the same license type in order to exercise the unrestricted portion.
Okay, so we'll need a motion to approve that. That's the easy part.
Sharp will move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Commissioner Olson? No. Rachel, let's vote on that issue, please.
Beast?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
Okay, so now I think we move to elk raffle drawing date.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Chad Switzer again, Wildlife Program Administrator. Found on page 134 of your commission book would be a proposal to modify the drawing time period for when the elk raffle license can be conducted. And this changes to move that back a little bit from in a rule that currently states 120 days before the Custer State Park rifle elk season begins. And the proposal here is to change that to a drawing date of no later than July 15th. The justification here is to simply allow about another 10 to 14 days for unsuccessful applicants in our regular elk drawing process to be able to purchase these elk raffle licenses if they so choose to do so. Just to note, this is this raffle has been around since, I believe, around 1990. This is separate, something different than the Hunt for Habitat raffle licenses that are currently available as well. All of this money goes back to that successful non-governmental conservation agency, which in the past has been the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And all of these funds have been put back to habitat projects on the ground, to elk survival, monitoring, habitat use, movements, and some elk research projects. So a great partnership that has developed over the years with our department, RMEF, the Forest Service, and likely some private landowners that have benefited in putting some elk habitat and improvements on the ground. So with that, we have no recommended changes and ask for your approval, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
I'll make that motion.
Sorry?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. If no discussion, Rachel, let's vote, please.
Beast?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
Thank you.
Yes, so let's go to number 30 on this revised agenda, which is bobcat hunting and trapping season.
Good morning, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Keith Fisk. I'm the administrator of the Wildlife Damage Program. If you'd please turn your attention, I believe it's number 135 in your booklets. We'll address the bobcat hunting and trapping season. Just to recall folks' memory from the last meeting that we had, we did propose two changes from last year for you to consider today. The first one there would be to align the season dates here in South Dakota so that they're consistent between East River and West River. Currently in rule, the East River season starts on December 26th It runs through the third Sunday in January. We would like to extend that to the end of February. And if you look there at number one, it is a misprint. It should be December 26th through February 15th. So I want to make sure that folks know that that's clear. It's December 26th through February 15th. And then we would also ask the commission to modify the open area here in eastern South Dakota to expand to include all of eastern South Dakota. So the season would be statewide. Currently, we have 10 counties along the Missouri River and up the James River. And we certainly have had staff reports, and we've had staff report or public reports that there are bobcats in other areas along some of those riparian areas. We certainly know that there's bobcat habitat in some of those areas. And that's one of the primary reasons that we're bringing this forward, is that we do believe that there's some additional opportunity for folks to participate in. We would also retain that limit of the taking of bobcats in eastern South Dakota to be one bobcat per hunter or trapper. So we do feel that some additional harvest in some of those expanded areas, if this passes today, isn't going to impact the bobcat population. And it certainly, bobcats are only going to occur in certain areas that there's available habitat. There's obviously areas that are included that bobcats are far and few between, but rather than try to come back to the commission every few years and add in some additional counties, we'd go and take one chunk here, so to help simplify those rules in general. I know that there was a couple questions from commissioners in regards to the harvest of bobcats there in eastern South Dakota. Again, that season first started in 2012-2013, and that was after the conclusion of the research project that we had in cooperation with SDSU. And so for the last 8 years, if you average that out, it's ranged from 40 to 8 bobcats there in eastern South Dakota. It's an average of 23 bobcats. So again, not a huge number. We wouldn't anticipate seeing a large increase in the harvest, because again, there's only so many people that are going to pursue these species. And again, there's a limited amount of habitat there in most of eastern South Dakota. So with that, I would ask for your favorable approval. We have no recommended changes from the proposal, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Keith. Any questions, comments? Commissioner Spring.
On that bobcat season, is it still that a landowner don't have to have a purveyor's tag?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Spring, that's correct. Landowners on their own property that they own or operate do not have to have a license.
Any other questions, comments? If not, we need a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
For a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion? If not, Rachel, we'll vote on that issue, please.
Beast?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, we're to number 31, fishing regulations. Gino.
Good morning again. This is Gino Adams, Fisheries Program Administrator. We'll start with spearing, 410706. There are two items on the spearing sheet. I believe it's page 140 in your book, but I'm not positive. There are two items on this proposal. One is to create a game fish spearing season below Fort Randall Dam, which would mirror the other Missouri River reservoirs, what they have for spearing seasons below their dams. The second one there would be to extend the game fish spearing hours to a half hour after sunset to allow additional opportunity there and make it similar to some of our other big game and other type of activities that we have. So with that, I would ask for any questions and move on from there.
Should we do these one at a time? Is that what you'd prefer?
Totally up to you.
Well, let's do that. Are there questions or comments on this? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Sharp.
B seconds.
Thank you. Any discussion? If not, Rachel, let's vote, please.
Beast?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor, motion carries.
Gino, can you remind me how many different parts are there here? I mean, maybe we should wait to the end, but...
We've got four different action sheets. So John has a couple and I have a couple.
Well, why don't you go through them all and then let's see if it makes sense to do them individually or as a group. How about we do that?
Okay.
Okay.
So John, want to take the next one?
Mr. Chairman, John Lott, Aquatic Resources Chief here. I've got for you the, if you look at page number 141 in your books, we have a Public Waters chapter proposal on the establishment of signage requirements for aeration systems. Aeration systems are used to prevent fish kills during the summer and winter. They're also used to protect property that's installed in the lake, like a dock or a pier. There are safety issues associated with these, and the proposed rule would establish signage requirements for lake access areas at locations where the public would have open access to a water, and then also there'd be conspicuous markers that would have to be placed around the open area that's being aerated. In addition, there is a removal requirement for signage and markers by March 30th of each year. Would you like me to proceed on to the aquatic invasive species rules, Mr. Chairman?
No, let's take that one and then we'll go on. So does anybody have any questions or comments on the aeration markings? If not, we'll need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, we can vote on that, Rachel.
East?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp? Sharp? Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor?
Okay. Yeah, Sharp's an aye.
Perfect. All in favor, motion carries.
Okay, thanks, John. So now we go to AIS, right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On page number 143 in the commission book is the proposals from July for aquatic invasive species rule changes. The first three on that list simply are related to aligning administrative rules with the new statutes that were created by the legislature in their last legislative session. Number two on that also would help establish the ability for the owner or an agent of the owner to transport a boat to have it be decontaminated. Items number four and five on that list of proposed changes, that includes repealing the local boat registries. We currently have two registries in place, one for Lewis and Clark and one for
the Chamberlain and Oklahoma area on Francis Case. And the idea with the repeal here is that as we've had an increase in the distribution of zebra mussels, local boat registries won't work for all the areas we have infestation. So our plan is to have this rule repealed and then to come back to the commission at a later date with an updated process for handling decontaminations. Number five there also would remove the references to local boat registry programs and the decontamination rule. Change number six simply includes creating a rule that would define what the established decontamination protocols would be in South Dakota. They would be the same ones that are used by the western states and including a document that was published by the Pacific Marine Council. And they would involve a combination of hot pressure washes and dry time. Then item number seven, there is a recommended change from proposal from the department, and that would be to change the name of the containment water rule from containment waters to infested waters and define infested waters in that rule as water bodies that have an established zebra or quagga a mussel population, water bodies downstream of infested waters with a high likelihood of becoming infested, and waters outside the state that are designated by a legal jurisdiction as infested. The rationale behind this change from containment waters to infested waters is with the expansion in infested waters East River, we're expecting to have newly infested waters on a more regular basis than we have in the past. To add a water onto the containment water a list, it requires the commission to promulgate rules, either a standard process or emergency a rule promulgation a process, whereas the infested waters list is something that could be maintained by the department with bodies of water added to the list if they meet the criteria that are established in the definition. Mr. Chairman, what this would also include would be in that modification, the waters that were added under emergency rule in the month of July, they would be included in that initial list of infested waters, as would Kaskaskia and Lake Cochrane. That concludes the aquatic invasive species proposals and changes from proposal. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And
thank you, John. When you just talked about the change to proposal, including the waters that are infested and downstream, whatever the language was, and then you said, and to have a high likelihood, we talked about that briefly a while ago. I'm not sure why we would want to keep high in there. I mean, the question is, is there going to have a likelihood? So I'd be interested to know what John thinks. But, I mean, looking at it as a lawyer, I mean, you put a much higher – I don't know what the burden is for high. That's not really a defined term in our world. And, it seems like it should either be likelihood or not. There's no reason I can see to make the burden higher by putting the word high in there. But maybe John has a different view.
Mr. Chair, no, I think it depends on how high you want to set the bar. I mean, likelihood, I think, is probably more in tune with what I think John and his team were striving for. And if I had been looking a little more closely, I probably would have made that same recommendation to strike out the high part and just say likelihood.
So, I mean, if that's okay with you, John, I mean, that's what I would suggest to make it more practical. but it's certainly up to you.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, that would be a fine edit to the definition.
So then we'll just assume that's included in the change from proposal, and so we'll need a motion to approve the change from proposal before we get to the main proposal, right? Okay, so
correct.
Anyone have questions or comments for John? And then when everybody has addressed that to the extent they want, then we need a motion to change the proposal as amended, as described by John. Any questions, comments? Do we have a motion to change the proposal as John described?
Sharp moves.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, Rachel, let's vote on the motion to change the proposal as described.
Beast?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor, motion carries.
So now we need a motion to approve the proposal.
While I'm watching grass grow, wait for somebody, I'll move.
I'll second.
Oh, any discussion? If not, Rachel, let's vote on that.
Beast?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor, motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, there is one thing I would like to note, and that's that with the local boat registry rule,
yeah,
we plan on submitting that to the Secretary of State such that it would, the boat registries would be repealed about the end of October. That would allow people who are currently enrolled in registries to get their boats out of the water for this boating season.
Okay, thanks. All right, now I believe we're to public waters, which is number 34 on the revised agenda.
Correct.
Back to Gino?
Yep, back to Gino. Gino Adams, Fisheries Program Administrator. The last one here would be public water zoning and fish limits. And there are two aspects to this proposal. The first one would be the establishment of electric trolling motors only for Canyon Lake and Bismarck Lake out in the Black Hills. There's a lot of canoe and kayak opportunity and use in those two waters, and this would facilitate that. And the second change there would be simply to change the border water trout daily limit from 7 to 5, which would match both our South Dakota inland limits and Nebraska's border water limit. And there are no changes to either of these proposals from either of these finalizations from proposals. So with that, I'd take any questions.
Anybody have questions for Gino? No questions, then we'll need a motion to approve that proposal.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, Rachel, let's vote, please.
Beast?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor, motion carries.
Thank
all right,
you.
I think that gets us through all the finalizations. Tom, is that right?
Mr. Chairman, we do have the three resolutions from the three petitions yesterday to just quick discuss and make sure you have your final action on those. I do know that Mr. Katilnik had sent them out to the commissioners via email, and I'll defer to Mr. Kotilnik if we have to take a vote on each resolution independently, or if you are comfortable and approve of all three, if you could take one motion. So vote on each one individually, John, correct? All right. Yeah. Very good. So, Mr. Chairman, I will not let grass grow, as Commissioner Sharp alluded to just a moment ago. Resolution 20-14 is in respect to the sage-grouse petition, commissioners. We added in and drafted for you the bullet points that were discussed in the conversation yesterday. I do not know if you want me to go through each one of these individually, or if you've all had a chance to review them, and if you have any questions, we'll be certainly willing to answer them. But if not, we would ask for you to take action on resolution 20-14, which denied the sage grouse petition.
All right. Any questions, comments, discussion? If not, we'll need a motion to approve resolution 20-14, which denies the sage grouse petition.
Move to approve.
Second. Any discussion? If not, Rachel will vote on resolution 20-14.
East?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor, motion carries.
Next one, Tom.
Mr. Chairman, next resolution is 20-15, and that's in respect to the petition relayed around the request to change the beaver trapping season dates. And that, again, we drafted the items which were discussed yesterday and in your deliberations and discussions. And if it fits what you folks talked about and comfortable with this, we would ask for your passage of resolution 20-15.
Is there a motion to approve resolution 20-15?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, Rachel will vote on resolution 20-15.
East?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
All right, 20-16.
Yeah, last one, Mr. Chairman, was in respect to the petition brought forward about the Lake Chub. And again, information included in here was per the discussion and information exchanged. With your concurrence and approval, we would ask for you to pass resolution 20-16.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Aye.
East seconds.
Any discussion? If not, Rachel will vote on resolution 20-16.
East.
Aye.
Locken.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sharp.
Aye.
Spring.
Aye.
Whitmire.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
All in favor.
Okay.
End of action items, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else have anything for today?
Yeah, Commissioner Beast here. I was going to ask Tom, if I wasn't mistaken, there was a Bighorn Sheep Committee met by Zoom in May. Was there any report back on the discussion or what they discussed at that meeting?
Through the chair, Commissioner Beast, yes, they did have a teleconference or virtual meeting, I believe it was, back in May. I know that Chad Lehman, who's our big game biologist out there that heads up those efforts, I don't know if he had a full report, but I know he had a list of some things that he and others talked about. I will make sure that he gets that information to you, or at minimum call you directly and have that conversation.
Okay, I had a report from a couple of the members on that board that they discussed projects and stuff that they wanted to bring forward out of that discussion, and if we could get that on next month's meeting to discuss that and what we can do with possible funds to get it out on the ground and get some of them projects going.
Yeah, and I know, Commissioner Beast, that our staff have been talking about, internally they've been talking about projects to put on the ground in respect utilizing that Bighorn Sheep auction tag fund. So we can certainly add that as an information item and give you some background and some things that are being considered and discussed.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Anyone else? So if anybody has other agenda items they want for October, please let us know. And then just another reminder, we're having that governance meeting in the morning, and so let us know in a week or so if you have issues, not so much substantive issues, but we could talk about that too, I suppose. But it's more about how we do business, stepping back and taking a look at process and how we do what we do. So.
Yeah, just one quick thing on that governance meeting. You know, that's the first day elk season. And I haven't had to miss that in 30 years. So that's going to be a tough day for me.
Anything else?
This is Locke, and we've got a cow moose been hanging around in the neighborhood for about a year. If anybody's got an extra bull, send it our way.
Well, there you go. Anything else? All right, if not, we're adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon in a month.